Morning, morning, morning. I can never always truly understand why the Lord allowed me to share this morning. Because if I were to look in the natural at who I am and where we've been, I certainly wouldn't allow myself up here. Okay, so I think from what I'm trying to say is I've understood the grace that the Lord has had for me, and I know the grace that the Lord has for you. I don't know where you've been. Maybe I don't want to know where you've been. The Lord knows everything. And that's the exciting part of it. He does know everything about you. And yet, he still loves you. And he still calls you. And you know, last week Ken was sharing on not hardening our hearts or having an unbelieving heart, or unbelieving spirit. And he was speaking about God's faithfulness to us all, in all situations. Because there are parts of our lives, the times in our lives, where we maybe do have a bit of a hardening of heart. Not that any of you have had it, I'm sure, but there comes those times when we maybe don't really want the Lord's hand on our lives. We seem to shy away from what he wants. And so for me this morning, I wanted to share something that's been sitting with me, and the Lord has been challenging me quite seriously for a little while now, and that is a very small word in the scripture, but it has it's incredibly difficult and has a lot of challenges for all of us, and that word is to obey. And you know, it's something that we are called to do. We are called to obey the Lord. And before I go there, that's what I'd like to share a little bit this morning. Before I go there, you know, in Luke 1:17, when they were talking about John the Baptist, it says, what did he come for? Why did John come? He came to prepare the way of the Lord, the way for the Lord, however you want to phrase it. And what we need to understand is that the Lord is calling each and every one of us here to prepare the way of the Lord, because I believe time is really short. And I think he's calling all of us to be in that place where we are prepared, we are ready, I've shared it before, prepared and ready for what he will bring before us. And we need to be prepared, we need to be ready, because there's nothing like surprises. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like surprises. And what I feel right now, that whatever the Lord brings before us, for us to do, should not be a surprise. We should be ready. And the problem with all of us is that, and I don't know about you, but I'm actually find myself quite rebellious, quite independent. Not that any of you would understand that, but I'm it's part of me. But I'm learning that the Lord doesn't really want that in our service to him. He wants us to be in that place of being fully submitted, to humble ourselves, because it's only in that place can he actually lift us up. The problem is I find I try to lift myself up. And you know what? It just doesn't work, because the Lord doesn't like it. He doesn't see it. And you know, I'd like to read to you a little bit of scripture, because I find it incredibly encouraging. And we, as his people, each one of us here has been called. We've been chosen. No matter who we are, no matter where you come from, each and every one of us here is chosen by God to be part of his family, to be his people, to be taken from the darkness into the light. And you know, that's not something to be considered lightly. It's something to be truly treasured and understood, that we are a very special, very privileged people to be called the children of God, to have been called by him. Because Jesus himself has given himself completely. He gave his life for each and every one of us, knowing exactly who we are. And there's parts of us that we don't actually ever really want to admit to. We don't really particularly want other people to see. But you know, God sees it all. And I know that I've come to the place where I know he sees all the rubbish. And I've come to the place now of understanding that I can't hide it from him. I must bring it before him and say, Lord, this is me. Help me, please. I'm prepared to submit myself, to humble myself before you and say, Lord, I want to obey you in all things. I want to be in that place where I have that peace, that rest, that joy, those blessings that come from obedience. And so this morning I just wanted to read a little bit of scripture from 1 Peter 1, and I'll read it in the Amplified, where he's talking to those, the elect, what he calls the elect, and he calls both Jews and Gentiles, who live as exiles scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia Minor, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood. And I know some versions say that we've been washed in his blood. And if we're going to do it, I'd prefer to actually be washed, not just sprinkled, if you understand what I'm saying. And we're in those days where I believe God is restoring the church. People talk about revival, but something in me says that before revival really starts, the church needs to be restored. Because if we look around, there are places where the truth of God is not preached. If it's preached, it's preached in part. It's not the full truth, the full mystery of Christ. The Holy Spirit is often ignored in the churches. But we need to understand that even in the early church, it's the Holy Spirit that led it, drove it, brought everybody to the place where they needed to be. And it was that obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the allowing of the Holy Spirit to lead them, to guide them, that built the church. Who built the church? You know, it wasn't the elders and the pastors. Sorry, Andrew. But, you know, but what happened if you look at Paul when he was talking to Timothy and people like that? The people who were dispersed, they're the ones that started the church. Then they sent the elders and the apostles to appoint elders, to appoint the pastors. So sometimes we got church planting maybe back to front. But we, whatever it is, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to actually lead us to where he wants us to be. You know, he wants us prepared. And we can be very distracted in the world today. There's a lot of things out there to distract us. You go on media, and I'm very much aware of it. And occasionally, I find myself starting to scroll. Any of you scroll? No, I'm sure you don't. It's not something any of us should do. But you find yourself suddenly scrolling, and it may be most of the people I look at are Christians in leadership or whatever may be the case. But you find yourself starting to scroll. What an incredibly bad habit. You know, because what are you looking at? A lot of it is the world in whatever form. And, you know, we can become very distracted. And, you know, there's this escalation in the church and in the world, but escalation in the church of wokeism, of liberalism. I've got it right that time. And, you know, it's frightening because people don't even see what's going on. Or maybe they do. But we need to be aware of what's going on because although we can be discouraged by this sudden rise, this sudden escalation, we need to understand that if the enemy is escalating things, it's because he knows what's coming. And maybe we need to see the signs for what they are. And that's just an aside, as it were. But we need to be very careful that we're in a place where we can serve the Lord, serve him the way he wants us to serve him. And if you look at 2 Timothy 2, it says, you know, that we should become vessels that are sanctified and useful to the Lord. The question I believe you've got to ask yourself, do you actually want to be useful to serve the Lord? And I know it's a bit of a moot point, but we are called to serve the Lord. We are called to serve him by being useful to him, not useful to ourselves. And any time that we start to think that the Lord hasn't got it right and that we need to take over, that's the time where you're going to find yourself in a fairly serious predicament. Because I don't know about you guys, but I've had plans for my own life. And I don't particularly, I look back and I'm thinking, no, I should have listened to the Lord's plan, because every time my own plan, I mess them up quite badly. You know, and One of the things we got to be very careful of is when we are serving ourselves and not the Lord, because quite often what's happening is instead of serving the Lord, you serve yourself. And it's in our nature. It's not that we any of us are different. We're all the same. I'm not saying you're selfish people, but I certainly am inclined to be. But the Lord's got to do that work in you. And you know, one of the things that Paul, when he writes to the Romans, he says, we need to cleanse ourselves to become vessels of righteousness to the Lord. And you can't do that in your own flesh. You cannot do that yourself. You've got to allow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to change you. It's an inward thing. It's not an outward thing. You know, when we serve in obedience, there are a lot of blessings. There's the blessings of joy, the blessings of people. When we talk about blessings, there's some people that, when you talk about blessings, they think of this stuff. You know, the old ching, 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 ching. And it just doesn't work that way. The blessings the Lord gives us are those that you cannot buy. It's the blessings of that peace, that rest, that joy, that understanding of what's going on around you, the understanding of your place in his body and his family. And those things don't come with money. They come from being in a place of obedience, being in a place of allowing the Lord to use you as he wants. You know, when you look at, it's interesting, when you look at the scripture, you know, go back into the Old Testament, there are commands there. There are a lot of commands. But even in amongst those commands, thou shalt not, you know, you understand it all. And when we are called to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbors, those are the two commandments that Jesus wanted us to do. But if you look at, I'll use Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 28, 29, 30, the Lord, or Moses, when he's speaking to the people, he talks about if, and you look at them all, and in John 14, when he talks about if you love the Lord, you will obey him. And in Deuteronomy, it says, if you obey the Lord, I will bless you. The Lord will bless you. And he's talking about the blessings of peace and joy. And you can bring prosperity into it. What is prosperity? Is it money? Or is it a prosperity of life? Of just family? And all? But always you see that he puts, if you obey me, I will bless you. And in Deuteronomy, it's very clear, is if you don't obey me, then you're going to follow the consequences. And for many of us in my own life, when I haven't obeyed the Lord, the consequences of my actions I've had to pay for. You know, and obedience stops us doing stupid things. I don't know if you're aware of that. Because we often make up our own minds and we decide to do things. Not that I've ever done things like that. But every time you decide to do something of your own, and there are consequences to it, when we're obedient to what the Lord wants us, it stops us doing stupid things and stops us facing the consequences of that stupidity. And please, I'm speaking about myself. I have no idea. Well, I do have some of you, but I have no idea where you guys have been and the things that you've done. But I know that some of the decisions I've made, my own plans, my own purpose, have been genuinely quite stupid, really, when you look back and they think, why did I do that? And that's because I haven't listened. I haven't been obedient to what the Lord wants of me. Because we think we know it better. You know, the one thing that says in both Deuteronomy and John, it says if. There's always that if. In other words, it's your choice. And it comes about, you know, we could all talk about, we're not going to talk about it, but we talk about free will versus predestination. We got all this stuff. But in the end, the Lord gives us a choice. Obey him, serve him, if you. So it gives you that, I won't say it gives you that option, but it gives us a choice to either serve him or not. And you know, what we don't understand, I think, sometimes is how much the Lord actually has for us. You know, the actual incredible treasures that he has laid up for us. And 1 Corinthians 2, in fact, let me read it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. I'm sure most of you know it. I'm sure Glenn can quote it without reading it, but I have to read it. Okay, where am I? It says, but as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And he has so much for us. There is so much more that the Lord has for us, but it's for us to now submit to, humble ourselves and accept what he has, as opposed to us determining what we think he wants. In the past, I've run myself ragged. There was a time I got what they call burnout. And that's for running around doing service to the Lord. While I was working, while I was doing all family work, the whole bundle, and trying to serve the Lord in my flesh. And all that does to you is hurt you. Because it's what you want, not what he wants. And in John, going back to John 14, it says, if you love me, obey me. And we go back to Samuel when, you know the story in 1 Samuel 15 with Saul and Samuel. Samuel says, go and do this. They're against the Amalekites. And he says, obliterate them all. I know it's a harsh thing, but he does say, look, destroy the whole lot. And Saul brings back all the choice bits and pieces. And says, well, I think it's good that we keep all this stuff. And Samuel arrives, and he also, by the way, he carries out a sacrifice, which as a king wasn't his place. And I'll come on to that because, yeah. But Samuel says, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he then rebukes Saul and removes the kingdom from him. But he says, and then he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And we need to understand that what the Lord is looking for is an attitude of heart, not the sacrifice, because sometimes we think that sacrificing the work that we do is what the Lord wants. But the Lord wants a heart of obedience to him. And that's why he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I think we need to understand that obedience is something that the Lord wants of us. But he doesn't give us that command. But his standards are very, very clear. And we can't be in a place of doing what the Lord wants if we're not obeying him. Because we'll still continue doing our own thing. I'm not saying if you're truly born again, I'm not saying you're not going to end up in heaven one day. Please, that's not what I'm saying. Because I believe once you're born again, you're born again. Because when you get born again in Jesus' blood, you've been set free. You are set free from any obligation to the world. You've been set free to serve the Lord. And we need to see what that freedom allows us to do in serving the Lord. And the Lord is, he speaks to all of us. Eh? There's none of us that doesn't hear the Lord speaking to us. And there was a definite time in my life when I didn't really listen. I was actually disobedient. Not only disobedient, I didn't want to listen to the Lord because I didn't trust him. Hear me? I didn't trust him to look after me. I didn't trust my life in his hands because I thought I knew better. Okay. And if you think about it, the Lord wants us to obey. If you look at Abraham, you look at Abraham, okay, we start with Abraham. He was commended for his faith. What was his faith about? He believed, and then he did. And he did what the Lord wanted, not what he wanted. He believed, and then he did. So if we look at faith, faith is belief in action. It's what we do with what the Lord is showing us. And some of it, sometimes the Lord shows you things and you think, Lord, that's really quite stupid, Lord. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. But we mustn't forget, we talk about a spiritual world and a material world. And we can actually very, very easily get caught up in the material world. You can't serve two masters. You know, Jesus himself was very, very clear. And In terms of getting ready, sometimes we are inclined to still look at the material world as opposed to the spiritual world. And we need to see things differently. When some months ago, I said, Lord, please, I want to see what's going on around me in the spirit. I want to be discerning in the spirit. And you know, it changes your entire perspective of what's going on around you. When you start to see it in terms of a spiritual battle, a spiritual war, things change. You suddenly see things and think, wow. And we need to see it for what's going on around us. And unfortunately, we get caught up in this material world. And you know, Jesus, Matthew 6, he says, you cannot serve two masters because you're going to serve the one and not the other. And in fact, you're going to serve the one and despise the other. So we need to be very careful what we get caught up in. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be wealthy, you shouldn't earn good money, that you shouldn't be rich and famous. The Lord doesn't have a problem with that. What he has a problem with is where you put your trust. Where is our trust? You know, James basically says, you should be hearing and doing. In other words, show your faith by what you hear and by what you do. God himself has put aside works for us. Ephesians 2:10. God has prepared works for us. He has put them in place for us. All we've got to do is say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Put aside what I think. What do you want? And you know, it's incredibly simple, but it's so incredibly difficult to do. I don't know why, but we all think we know better. I'm sure, look, I'm probably the only guy here, but you know, we've got to decide who we serve. And the world has, once you've been set free, you've been born again, the world has got no claim on you whatsoever. The only person that puts a claim on you to serve the world is you. The Lord has set us free. Does that take time? I've seen it. For some, it's a lightning strike. It's a thunderclap. And they've changed forever. But for most of us, for me, it's been a little while. There's things that I'm still praying about. 40 years down the line, I'm still praying. And maybe like Paul, the Lord is saying, keeps you in the right place, boy. He keeps you humble. Because I know who I am, and there's ugliness in there that I don't particularly like. So I don't want it. But I'm just thinking, if I was completely clean, would I be self-righteous? I probably would be. I have been there before. You know. But you need to understand who you are. You need to understand that we are all sinners. We are all the same before God. And there's nobody who's different. You know, and we've got to allow the work of the Spirit in our lives. We've got to allow ourselves to be humbled. We've got to allow ourselves to be guided. We've got to allow ourselves to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But we have been set free. You know, we've got to be careful also about being religious. Anybody here ever been religious? No, don't do it. I'll put my hand up. Being religious, you know, being religious is a system of works. It's a system. It's a system of works. It's an outward appearance of being, hallelujah, I'm okay. But you know, what we're talking about is an inward change. It's having a godly life that is the outward appearance of what's happening in your heart. And religion is one of those really dangerous things that allows you to look good on the outside but not even ever change in the inside. And we've got to allow him to do that work. You've got to allow him to do that work because he will not do anything without your approval and submission. Okay, so we need to understand that the Holy Spirit will stand there and wait for you. And we need to be in that place of saying, Lord, I want you now, because his reply is instant. It's there. So one of the problems is we look for approval in the kingdom of God, in serving him. We look for approval. Anybody? No, I won't even ask that question. We look for approval because look at me putting chairs out. Look, I do this. No, sorry, I wasn't looking at you, Glenn. But I'm saying, but it's part of the way we are, is that part of being natural human, I suppose, I don't know. But we do look for approval. The other thing is, do we also look for position? And you know, it's amazing. We listened to a lady speak last week who said, you know, you need to be thankful that the Lord doesn't give you position, because she was talking about the talents. She said, I don't want to look after 10 talents. One's good enough for me. Because there's a responsibility, there's an accountability. And what happens, too many people don't see the accountability and the responsibility you have with position. So we need to be careful and say, Lord, you show me where you want me to be. If it's to sweep the floors afterwards, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I talk about chairs. In church I was in previously, I did the chairs for 15 years. And I used to now and again mutter when I had to wheel chairs around men half my age who were standing drinking tea and waffling. And you know, it took me a while to get over some of this. Hey? But you know, the Lord said, who are you doing this for? And I went, you. He said, well, look to me. Don't look at them. You're doing this, what's on your heart. So get on with it. And you know, if we look at Luke, where is it? Luke 15, I think. I can't remember. Where Jesus talks about the servant and says, you who having a servant, when you come in from the fields, do you say to him, hey, come and sit and eat with me? No. You say to him, hey, go and prepare my meal. Get everything ready for me. And once I've eaten and done, then you can eat and drink. And I looked at it and thought, hold on a minute. And that's what the Lord's saying. Who are you? You're serving me. You serve me where you want. It's like the you know, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. The first guy got one shekel for a day, and the last guy got a shekel for a day. And you look at that and think, that's not fair. But who was the deal made with? Each of those individual people, that was the deal. So who are you to bleat when the guy who's only worked 1 hour, when you've just worked 12, gets the same price as you? We're talking about the kingdom of the Lord. In the world, it may be a bit different, but you think about it. In the kingdom of God, that's what it's about. We need to be sensitive to what the Lord wants us to do and to be content. Because when we're in a place of obedience, Glenn was talking about as well, there's a contentment that comes with knowing that you're doing God's will, being where he wants you to be. And you know, we try to do it in our own strength. Anybody here ever try to serve the Lord in your own strength? I'm sure none of you. But let me tell you what, it is just such a natural thing to do for the Lord in your own strength. And you know, Paul himself understood when he said, your grace is sufficient for me. Do we serve the Lord with the power, the energy that comes from the Holy Spirit? Because our energy is finite. The energy and the power from the Holy Spirit is infinite. It's there forever, as much as we want. But we burn ourselves out using our own strength. And we need to be so, so careful. And you know, he wants us all to be strengthened with that supernatural, that invisible power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, we do need to understand that the Lord does want good for us. He does want us to serve him. He does want us to be strong. He does want us to be in a place where we've got the strength to serve him as we should. And you know, do any of you, okay, I'm going to be careful now. Do any of you feel inadequate in serving the Lord? Anybody? I'll put two hands up. And you know what, that's such a good thing. If I had to share that in certain places, I know that I'd probably have people walk out on me. But we need to understand that we need to feel inadequate, because the Lord says, I want to do it. Allow me, the Holy Spirit. That's what I've given you. John 14. The Lord says, look, if you love me, you will obey me. And when you love me and you obey me, I will give you the Holy Spirit who will do this for you. Why do we still insist on doing it ourselves? And I'm as guilty as... terrible. You know, but we need to be in a place of putting ourselves aside. You know, Jesus himself, he was obedient unto death. In other words, he was obedient all the way. He didn't like it in the slightest. Sometimes what the Lord asks us to do, we don't like doing. But Jesus himself was obedient. He set the pace. He showed us the way. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to actually guide us and strengthen us to show us where we want. And any time the flesh creeps in, we've got to say, step aside. Because the Lord will use all of us. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter where you come from. He will use you where you are, as you are. Whether you think you're inadequate or not, it's not your problem. It's the Lord's problem, who will empower you, who will gift you, who will bring you into that place of growing you and strengthening you to serve him in the body, in the world. Doesn't matter where he wants you. Have a look for where he wants you. And you know, we've just got to realize that none of us are adequate to serve the Lord in our own strength. We are not. And so my encouragement to you is, it's difficult doing it in your flesh because you're not going to get anywhere. And you'll spend your whole life running around in circles, facing the consequences of your actions instead of walking in that place of peace and of rest with the Lord. And we need to be careful that we don't allow the materialism, our own self, to get in the way of what the Lord wants. You know, we need to understand what the Lord wants for us is the best. We can look back, I can look back at my life and I can see where I've done my own thing or where I've obeyed the Lord. And you can see those times of turmoil and unrest and uncomfortableness and emotional upheaval, for want of a better word. And you can see those times of peace and rest. And you can see it clearly, where you've obeyed him, where you haven't obeyed him. I'm not saying that you have to obey him. He doesn't say you have to. He says if. And we were talking about a scripture the other day, 1 Corinthians 3:15. It says, you know, be careful how you build. He said, because eventually it's all going to be tested with fire. And maybe everything is going to get burned, but you'll escape as though escaping from a fire. I love that image. So, because of me, it shows who we are sometimes. You know, and I think for me, I want to encourage you. We need to be patient in what the Lord is doing in us. But we do need him to work in us. We do need to allow him to work in us, to bring us to that point where we are useful to him. Vessels of righteousness, where you are fitting for his work. Because he will use you. And I believe the Lord is wanting people to come together to be used by him for his purpose. And he will use all of us. It's not like that I can't be. I'm not in the worship team, so therefore I'm not of any use. I'm not preaching, so I'm not in any use. He will use every single one of us when we submit and show, Lord, show me. He's incredibly gracious that way. You know, the thing to do for me is stop fighting. Put down your weapons and allow the Lord to actually lead you. You know, the prodigal son, I understand, you know, when I say, I believe that some of the places that the Lord has allowed me to go. So I understand his grace because I am a prodigal son. And it's amazing how when you come back, the father doesn't, you know, he doesn't go looking for the father. The father sees him a long way off. Why? Because the father was waiting for him. He didn't wait for the son to arrive. He went looking for the son. He was waiting for him. And as the Lord waits for all of us, it doesn't matter where you are. And you know, we maybe sometimes are not in the right place. There are many times I've found myself not in the right place. But you know, 1 John 1:8, we all know these scriptures. They write from the beginning when you start. You know, ask forgiveness. The Lord is faithful and he will forgive us. It's a matter of just forgiveness and getting back up and saying, Lord, thank you. Dust yourself off and move on. Because we do find ourselves in the wrong place now and again. But you know, God loves us just as we are. As you are right now, God loves you. Does he want you to stay as you are? No. Do you want to stay as you are? I can't answer that question. You have to answer that question. But God is faithful and he will change you. He will grow you to that place where he can use you. So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what gifting you got. It doesn't matter what the Lord wants to do, where you've been in the civvy world, where you've been in the corporate world. The Lord wants you where you are submitted to him, where you put aside your independence, put aside your rebellion and say, Lord, thank you. Because he has so much more for us. I, I'm I'm truly excited about what the Lord has in front of me, but nervous, because I don't think it's going to be that simple. But he has something so, so much more for us, far more than we can understand. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. Serve the Lord. Serve him in spirit and in truth. You know, the original church didn't have all this. They didn't have all this. They were guided by the Spirit. From the apostles all the way to the lowest, they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And we need to go back. We've got the Word. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got fellowship. We've got everything possible that we need. We just need to allow that working in our hearts. You know, we are called to deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. Put our will aside. Allow the Lord's will to take over. And you read, go and read Deuteronomy. It's the Old Testament, I know. I don't often go there. Well, I do, but not as often as I go to the New Testament, because we live in the New Covenant. But you know what? You go and read Deuteronomy 28. And you read John. If you love me, you will obey me. What is love about? Is love an emotion? Did Jesus get emotional about being hung on a cross? If it was emotional, it wasn't a particularly good one, I'm sure. But it was his will. He submitted his will. Love is not an emotion. It's an act of the will. Jesus showed us the way, because his act of dying on the cross for us was an act of his will. Not whether he liked it or not, but it's what he believed we needed to be his people. And he gave himself for each and every one of us here to be his people. And so this morning, it's that encouragement to say, we're called to deny ourselves, put aside our will, and just listen to what God wants from us, his will. His will be done. You know the Lord's Prayer? His will be done. So this morning, that's my encouragement. I don't want to continue. Haven't anybody blowing me kisses yet, so I must be within the time limit. So, you know what that one's about, eh? Sorry, you know, okay. Anyway, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this morning. Lord, what an incredible privilege to be in your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for your presence here this morning. And pray, Lord, that you'd move freely. Lord, that you'd touch hearts. Lord, that you'd restore us. You'd heal us. Give us a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation, a deeper need, a deeper love for you, Lord. For Lord, we do need you in our lives, Lord. Help us to love you more and more each day, Lord. Help us to put aside our own emotions and thoughts and thinking, Lord, and to be grounded in the joy of serving you, the joy of being one of your people, Lord. That joy that can only come in the Spirit, Lord. So I want to thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're working in us. Thank you, Lord, that you still care for us, that you do want us to grow, to work in. So I want to thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The Lord is very gracious to all of us.